This is Women's Magazine on listener-sponsored KPFA 94.1 FM and online at kpfa.org. I'm Kate Raphael. Next up, Sharon Sobota talks with Chris Carr and Karen Morgan, two extraordinary women who turned diagnoses with rare diseases into a passion for healthy food. Carr is the author of Crazy Sexy Cancer and her new release, Crazy Sexy Diet, about the diet that helped her beat a rare sarcoma. Morgan is founder of Blackbird Bakery, the first gourmet gluten-free online bake shop. Her first book will be released this fall by Chronicle Books.
In this segment, you'll meet two incredible women that I met at the 2010 New York Book Expo, both of whom transformed the circumstances of life that came in the form of stage 4 cancer and celiac disease into something positive. After being diagnosed with stage 4 cancer more than 7 years ago, and even being issued an expiration date by some of her doctors, Chris Carr took matters into her own hands. She moved out of New York City, went back to school to study nutrition, and changed her lifestyle and her eating habits. Chris shared her journey with the world in the TLC and Discovery Health documentary called Crazy Sexy Life. She's written 2 books and is working on her third. Here's what Chris had to say when she spoke with the Women's Magazine last month.
Hi, I'm Chris Carr, and I'm here to promote my book, Crazy Sexy Diet, which is my third book. My first 2 books were about my journey with cancer, and this book is really the diet that helped me tremendously, and I think it can help you, whether you have cancer or not. I have a very rare sarcoma called epithelioid hemangioendothelioma, and it's quite a mouthful.
It is.
And I found out about it, really, it was a fluke. I was misdiagnosed for several years, and then it was after a particular yoga class that I was just in a lot of pain, and the pain got worse. And it was a pain I had felt, you know, on and off for years, but kind of, you know, when you're young, I was 31 at the time, you just brush it off, Teflon youth, nothing's wrong with me, and put the pedal to the metal and keep on going. So finally, I did go to the doctor, and when I found it, it was stage 4. And there's no cure and there's no treatment. So it really sent me out on almost like a mini hero's journey to figure out what I would do to start, you know, living like I meant it. And I wasn't sure what that would bring me, and I didn't know how long I'd be alive for. And what turned out to be this journey about looking for a cure became a journey of finding my life, really.
It is a mouthful, the type of cancer, and I, in fact, don't even know what that means. Can you put that into layperson's terms for people who aren't familiar?
It is a mouthful. It took me a while to figure out what the hell it meant. Sarcoma is a soft tissue cancer, so it's in the lining of my blood vessels and my liver and both of my lungs. And it was one of the biggest part for me was just finding the best doctor first and foremost, because otherwise they would have started cutting, tearing, zapping, you know, nuking. And when I found the oncologist at Dana-Farber, who became my doctor and now my colleague and dear friend, we just decided to watch and wait. And so far, I've been doing just remarkably. My cancer is completely stable, and it's just a part of my journey.
One thing I've been doing is a lot of interviews with women who've overcome major obstacles, so that's certainly one. Can you talk to me a little bit about your journey with cancer and how that affected your life?
Sure, absolutely. I mean, cancer basically changed my life in some ways. It made my life a much better journey. It's always been my teacher. It's something that I live with. I've been living with for 7 years now and thriving with. And cancer basically forced me to change my life in many ways. And what I've been doing through my my work and through my website, which is crazysexylife.com, is basically helping other people overcome obstacles, whether it's cancer or whether it's, you know, a different diagnosis or whether it's, you know, depression or crazy sexy divorce. I think that whenever we hit our tipping point, it's usually, you know, it's a sign. And you can go one way or you can go the other. And I think I chose the right way, which is basically go back to the basics and learn how to take care of yourself and really take care of yourself and not be a weekend warrior about it.
And can you just give a little bit of a glimpse what your life was like? I'm thinking about career and everything else, that because you said you really changed your life by getting diagnosed and then making some changes. So give me kind of the pre and the post diagnosis of you.
Well, before cancer, like BC, before cancer, I was an actress and a photographer living in the city. I was burning the candle at both ends. In the city, I mean New York City. And I lived on fast food and prepackaged things. Anything that was easy to like nuke and go or take out with you know, preferably a martini. It was fantastic. And then when I was diagnosed and, you know, I found out that there was no treatment and whatnot, first thing I did was I left the city. And then I really went on a huge journey around the country looking at different alternative and integrative modalities that might help me. And I made a film about it for TLC called Crazy Sexy Cancer, which is available easily to get. And that was the beginning of my cancer as a teacher.
And had you written before that?
I was a closet journaler. I had probably about 30 journals under my bed from years of writing, and I didn't think I had what it took to be a writer. You know, I was a little intimidated. But once I was, you know, diagnosed with cancer, and you can face that, writing is pretty easy. You know, writing and making a film, doing other things, I said, you know what? What do I have to lose? Absolutely nothing. And I think that the tone of my books really, especially for, you know, the people who have gone through the journey of cancer, it's very refreshing because it's very different, and it's not doom and gloom, and there's a lot of really practical, helpful information in the books. And I try and use that same tone in this book, Crazy Sexy Diet.
And concretely, talk me through some of the life changes that you made. If you could even give just a couple of examples of your diet. It doesn't have to have anything to do with your new book, just things that you did.
Well, you know, really the biggest thing, I studied many different modalities for years. I went back to school for nutrition. And what I do, and if there was anything, a little sneak peek of this book, and if there's any really useful tip that I'd want somebody to take from the book, is juicing. So juicing is the core of my regime, and it's green juice. So not a lot of fruit, not a lot of sugar. And it really, the diet that I follow focuses on balancing the pH of the body and, you know, cleaning up the terrain, detoxification, and healing the body from the inside out.
Did the doctors give you any of the grim things that sometimes people hear about, like, oh, you can expect to live for X amount of years and this kind of thing?
Yeah, I got all of the expiration dates and whatnot. And I would usually fire the person who gave me that date, because it really is, it's like you are the CEO of your company is you. And you have to find the right person, your right second in command.
I've sometimes encountered women who are afraid to advocate for themselves. They're sort of socialized to be people pleasers. So if the doctor says something, you don't necessarily challenge it. And you yourself have talked about firing, so to speak, your doctors. What advice would you have about being your own advocate?
I would say that nobody's going to give you permission to live. That permission is your birthright. And so if you can't stand up for yourself, then your New Year's resolution in June, or whatever month it is when you hear this, is to start doing it now. There's no time to waste. We come here alone, we leave here alone, and everything else is just delicious in between, so make it good.
To find out more about Chris Carr, visit www.crazysexylife.com. And you're listening to Women's Magazine on KPFA in Berkeley. We're on 94.1 on the dial or at www.kpfa.org on the web. I'm Sharon Sabota. Karen Morgan was diagnosed with celiac disease in 2002. Karen had always spent a lot of time in the kitchen with her family, enjoying food, and when she learned she had a gluten allergy, her world was turned upside down. She began experimenting in her kitchen and creating her own recipes. This fall, Chronicle Books will publish Karen's first book.
My name is Karen Morgan. I'm the founder of Blackbird Bakery. It's the first gourmet gluten-free online bake shop. And I was diagnosed with celiac disease in 2002, and I'm here at the BEA to help celebrate the publication of my book through Chronicle Books, Blackbird Bakery, Gluten-Free.
So walk me back to 2002. What was going on in your life at the time that you got diagnosed with celiac disease?
I was still in college, but I began suffering from a slew of health problems that were kind of unexplainable at the time, considering I was so young and seemingly so healthy. And my mother is actually a food chemist, and she started doing research because she herself was suffering from gastrointestinal problems. And shortly after that, she was like, we have all of the symptoms for celiac disease. We need to get tested. So I got a blood test done, and that was it.
What were some of the health things that were going on for you?
I was just sort of chronically sick all the time. I never had allergies, and all of a sudden I had allergies. I didn't feel my normal self, and I felt constantly bloated and just extremely uncomfortable in my own skin. You know, they always say in herbal healing that your stomach is your second brain. And so I knew that something was seriously wrong with my gut.
And so how did this diagnosis for you change your life, or how did it affect the direction that you took your entire life?
It changed my life completely. I wouldn't be where I'm sitting today if it wasn't for my diagnosis. I was always raised around food. My ex-husband was a chef, And to be told that all of a sudden your entire life as you know it is going to be swept up from underneath you, it changed everything, to say the least. And the reason that I came up with these recipes is because the available gluten-free products that were on the market were just so sub below par. I couldn't believe I was having to pay money to put sand in my mouth. And so I just set out to do something about it. And really and truly, for me, Blackbird Bakery is, these treats are so good you forget you're eating gluten-free.
So I have to ask, what were you studying in college at the time that you had your diagnosis?
English lit.
So, and had you ever imagined that you'd go on and do health research?
Never. I never thought I'd be a chef. I never thought I'd be a baker. It all just sort of snowballed after my diagnosis. Like I said, I mean, it was a 180 shift. I thought that I was going to be a starving poet the rest of my life. But I always wanted to do something in the service of others. And so it, all the pieces just sort of came together. It's really amazing how it worked out. I just followed my heart, and then I followed my stomach.
So was it almost a selfish need? Like, I want to have something that's good, and I want to find a way to do that?
Absolutely. When you're first diagnosed, there's a tremendous sense of helplessness that you feel, because everything that you know and all the pleasures that you knew in terms of food are taken away. And how do you solve that problem? And so that was the thing that really moved me. I remember sitting on my kitchen floor just utterly frustrated, crying, because it was like, is this really my life as I know it again? And so I really set out to try and change that.
And you talked to me about really looking at how everything is connected. You have a website, you have a bakery, and you look at not just, okay, here's some gluten-free food and it's dessert and you can eat it, but you look at much more of the global implications of that, or the environmental implications.
Yes.
Talk about that for me a little bit.
Absolutely. Yes. As you said, my blog is Living, Loving, and Baking. And so every week I update a new baking recipe and then a product that I think can mutually benefit someone that has an autoimmune disorder. So it includes gluten-free beauty products, products that will help eliminate the use of plastics in your kitchen. And to touch on the environmental aspect that you were talking about, one of my newest passions that has really developed is finding the root cause of all these autoimmune disorders. And recently, the federal government has released information that has basically said that the leading cause of all of these autoimmune disorders, including autism, ADD, ADHD, and celiac disease, are the byproducts of plastic. Well, I think that it's also one of the things that we've sort of been in denial about. You know, these things have made our lives so convenient in terms of, you know, Teflon cooking pans. Get rid of those. Those need to be recycled. Never use those again. I'm a huge proponent of using only glass storage containers for all of your leftover foods, and use parchment paper to send your kids their school lunches in. Get rid of the plastic. The reason that all of these people are having these issues all of a sudden is because they've built up in our genetics for the last 50 years. And that's why it's coming to a head now, and it's really causing, not only is it clogging our oceans with these particulates that get into the fish that are then getting into our food supply, it's destroying our bodies.
How did you do this? Like, how did you get out of the victim mentality and say, okay, I'm going to be in charge of my own destiny. I'm going to turn this into a really positive thing.
Honestly, it was my friends and my family that had the patience to watch my recipes mature and grow. As my recipes matured and grew, so too did my ideologies about the whole gluten-free lifestyle. I really wanted to have pleasure in my life. And so it wasn't so much about being a victim. It was really about finding a way to maintain the kind of lifestyle that I had before my diagnosis.
To find some of Karen's gluten-free recipes or visit Karen's blog, you can visit her website at www.blackbird-bakery.com.